My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Top features of football, NFL Lunch style. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. It's Turn It Up Tuesday. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Ravens back at practice coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Then it's off to Green Bay. Getting ready for the Packers. Have the joint practice on Thursday, as you just heard during the update. Then the preseason finale coming up on Saturday. And then a week from today is cut down day. We'll get to the Ravens defense and the depth chart there in a minute or so. But Lamar Jackson met with the media yesterday, reigning MVP in the National Football League. And he was asked about chemistry being built through the joint practices.
Not necessarily, just seeing how my guys are against other opponents and not just going against the same guys over and over, because I believe our defense learn our tendencies and learn our moves, you know, just going repetition each and every day, you know. So just going against these guys, we'll see how guys are.
Yeah, I think it'll be good for the Ravens, because their starters hadn't played any preseason games, and you get a chance to go good on good, and this is their tune-up, really, for Kansas City.
But he said not necessarily build chemistry, because sounds like he feels as though it's already there.
Yeah. I mean, one day is not going to change your team chemistry. One day, no. I think it's about finding out some answers and finding out. I think you'd be able to kind of find out where you stack, you know, with another team, because you get a clearer picture of where your holes are.
Now the offensive line. How clear is that picture? Here's Lamar Jackson talking about the state of the O-line.
My guys coming along very well. Young guys, very young group. I think this is probably the youngest group I've been a part of since I've been in the league. And guys are coming along well. You know, we got Ronnie at tackle. We got Tyler. Those guys are the leaders of the line right now. And we're just going to keep stacking and keep getting better.
He's comfortable with the same two that I am. You know, after that, I think that's probably why he lost weight, Bob. He knows he's going to be having to run for his life some. I think early on he's going to be running for his life.
Now, do you see that when you watch them out at training camp?
They kind of stop. But, yeah, I mean, guys get around. And they don't knock people off the ball in the run game. That's why I'm a little nervous for Henry, Bob, if they're not knocking people off the ball and he's got nowhere to go, you know, you take away kind of his advantage of coming, you know, I mean, if you're going to have him lined up 7 yards back and there's nowhere to go and then he's kind of stopping and hesitating, then he's starting all over again and, you know, much easier to tackle that way.
And he pointed out how young the offensive line is too, so he's aware.
Oh, yeah, he's
young means inexperienced, if you want to read between the lines, I guess.
Well, and then when you're Bob, and then when you're sitting out there, you know, in your street clothes watching the preseason games, and like Voorhees whiffs. And it's like, damn, that's me. I'm going to have to go. You know, so I don't think he's totally, like, if we were his boys or everything, Sam, look, Lamar, you nervous about that O-line? Oh, yeah.
Now, the defense he goes up against every day at training camp practice is the Ravens defense, obviously. And what about the threats they have there, Lamar?
I don't know because, like, all 11 just great players. You know, all around our defense is just so different, dynamic. I'm just glad I'm not going against him in real time, just practice.
I think defensively they've got a chance to be really good. I think they're really fast. And if the pass rush comes along, like if Ajabo, you know, keeps taking these steps and then always better, and Adisa Isaac, Bob, I was nervous. He didn't practice yesterday, so much for the cramps. Right. You know what I mean? They've got some guys. They don't have a lot of weaknesses on defense like they do on offense.
It's 88 1057 The Fan. NFL Lunch. Speaking of the defense, let's break it down. We talked about the offense yesterday, and as we project the 53-man roster with cutdown day a week from today, let's get to the defense, and we'll start on the defensive line. If there's a position of strength, and the Ravens have a few of them in 2024, Vinny, I'm guessing the D-line is one of them.
Oh, no doubt. I think they had good depth there. I think you keep five, Bob. And I think the five are pretty well set. Michael Pierce, Matt Abike, Roderick Washington, Brett Urban, and Travis Jones. And let me just say this about Travis Jones. You know, I criticized him in the first preseason game. I didn't think he played very well fundamentally. I think he got his shoulders turned and played high. He played one series this last game. Outstanding fundamentally. Did a great job keeping his shoulders square, stacking at the line of scrimmage, finding the football. So the four, five, or six plays that he played, he made huge improvements in that game.
How many strides does he have to take in regard? I mean, we could sit here and try to compare him to Justin Matabike, that level of breakout. Prior to last year's sack explosion, Matabike started to flash the year before.
Oh, no doubt.
In the second half. We haven't really seen Travis Jones flash much. What would be an acceptable year for him, year three?
I think having five sacks would be big. He just got to use his hands and stuff to rush past. Like in the first preseason game, like first or second play, he had a beautiful bull rush, just walked the guard back. And those are going to be his type of sacks. But he's got quickness and stuff, that type of ability, kind of like we saw with Matabike. Just got to use it and get confident in it.
So we'll knock on wood that those stay healthy. So that position is pretty much set. Let's look at inside linebacker. What's the depth looking like there?
Well, overall linebacker. Linebacker, Bob. You know, I'm keeping 10. I'm keeping 10 linebackers, which I got Roquan. I got Simpson. I got Malik Harrison, who could play in and out. Chris Board, backup inside, special teamer. Adisa Isaac, just got to keep him healthy. That hamstring or whatever. I thought he had a good first game that he played. He made some plays, and I think he'll get even better than that if he can practice. Josh Ross, I think backup inside linebacker. I like his instincts and stuff. Special team guy too. Kyle Van Noy, pass rusher, and then Ajabo, Tavius Robinson, and Owe. I think those 10, and I like all 10. I think all 10 are going to have specific roles to help the team win.
So as we look at that position group for now, you don't envision the Ravens looking elsewhere to supplement the talent pool here?
No, not at all. Not in the defensive line or linebackers right now. No.
Now the secondary.
Secondary's loaded. I'm keeping 11, but I probably could keep it. More. I got Wiggins, Armour Davis, Hamilton, Brandon Stevens, Pepe Williams, TJ Tampa, Samsonoy Kane, the rookie safety, Adarius Washington, Marcus Williams, Eddie Jackson, Marlon Humphrey. That's 11. And, you know, I got Millett. I'm putting Millett on IR, so that would be 12 when he comes back.
Now you have the safety depth, and you're hoping, of course, that Eddie Jackson is a semblance of what he was.
Eddie looks pretty good
Pro
in the
Bowler
preseason.
For the Bears.
He's been playing quite a bit in the preseason. I and out of practice, he's really instinct. But Bob, he's not a big dude. Looks like he's never fought in the weight room either.
Cornerback, you lost Millett, as you pointed out. But, you know, Wiggins and TJ Tampa, Ravens very excited about their potential. And by all accounts, Marlon Humphrey's had a brilliant training camp.
Yeah, and the other thing, Bob, is two guys that were always hurt have not missed anything, Armour Davis and Pepe. So I'm not crazy about Pepe on the outside covering, Bob, just because he lacks the speed. But, like, on the inside stuff, like where you use Millett, because he played safety a lot at University of Houston, and he's a physical dude. So he could have a spot, and he should be on teams. He was returning punts and stuff, too. But he could play a nice role. Now, the guy that I didn't have, Worley, you know who they brought in? I didn't have them keeping Worley, which would have been, you know, 12 or 13. Whoever they lose in the defensive secondary, I think teams know that they're deep there. I think a lot of these guys will get picked up.
Now, you got Tucker and Stout, and it looks like Deontay Hardy is going to be your premier or primary kick returner this year. Ty Wallace can do it, too, of course.
Yeah, but, I mean, I got Hardy is my – I'm counting him as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So, in my six there. I mean, Bob, when you look at offense versus defense, I mean, defensively, like I've got 10, 11, 21, and 5, 26 on defense. And I could have added more to the defensive side. And they might. I don't know. They may add some more with the defensive side. But offensively, with the O-line, it's hard finding 9. Tight ends, I may add a fourth if I can find a blocking tight end. Wide receivers, I mean, I've got Hardy, who's a returner, and yeah. I've got Wallace, who's a special team returner. That's why I think, like, Anthony Miller or Wade, you know, may make the team, too. And I think they're going to go get a running back, and Ricard would be the fourth on there. And then two quarterbacks. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Defensively, it's like there is serious competition defensively. Offensively, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's strong competition.
But they're not signing defensively. They're not bringing in a Jadeveon Clowney at the late stages of camp to trade Yanni Ngakoue, I guess.
I think they're going young. Normally, Bob, if they were to do those types of things, they'd have already done it. You know, like they brought in Eddie Jackson earlier. You know, if they're bringing in, like they went and got Miller and Justin Gage. Mm-hmm. So I think if they were going to do that, they would have already done it. Unless they're going to, you know, somebody that gets cut. But like I said, where they're picking on the waiver wire, they ain't getting anybody.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East report. Orioles lost last night, as you all know. We'll preview game 2 of that one. Look at the scores from yesterday. Look at the schedule for tonight. And obviously, look at the updated standings as we're in the later stages of the month of August. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. We'll talk about MLB fun as we head into September in only, 10 days, whatever?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
Time for the American League East report here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, as we talked about in the first hour of the show. With some level of concern, Orioles lose to the Mets last night, 4-3. Francisco Alvarez walks off Sir Anthony Dominguez. 3-0 count, last one in the left center field seats after the Orioles had fallen behind 3-0, tied it on the Urias homer. And then, unfortunately, the Mets get that much-needed win. So the Birds, they dropped that when the series opener against New York fall to 73-53. Dean Kramer is on the hill tonight, coming off one of his better starts, 5-9 with a 4.48. Urias was 2-for-3 with that homer. Unfortunately, the Orioles were 0-for-5. With runners in scoring position, which has been somewhat of a problemo, as we've discussed ad nauseum. It's almost like I'm getting sick of talking about it until they turn it around. Trevor Rogers, 4+, 5 hits, 3 runs. So I guess he battled into the fifth inning. Keegan Aiken was brilliant in relief last night for the Orioles, so we'll give him some praise. Dean Kramer going up against Jose Quintana, who was 6-8 with a 4.26. The Mets coming in at 65-60, 34-32 at home. The Orioles are 36-25 away from Oriole Park at Camden Yards. We get to the standings here in a second. Last night in the division, Toronto Blue Jays, they've had a lost season. And you saw Chris Bassett was saying, we gave $700 million to Shohei Ohtani. He turned it down to go to the Dodgers. And we didn't have a plan B, basically. But all of their Bo Bichette's had a miserable season. Then he got hurt. Vlad Jr.'s been on fire. Gausman lost last night after an all-star season. Bassett's been acceptable. But Toronto, they were the Orioles 3 years ago. All this young talent. Yeah. And then, unlike Baltimore is yet to do, and who knows if they will, they went out and signed big-name free agents to supplement the Springer and Gausman, among others. Didn't pan out for them. And now here they are bringing up the rear, and John Schneider's probably going to get fired at the end of the season.
He should, Bob. I mean, if you're going all in on Ohtani, you better have a backup plan.
Yeah,
if you
got $700 million for him, right, somebody else could have been worthy of at least a couple of duckies there. But anyway, speaking of Toronto, they lost again last night, and a certain guy in particular made him pay big time.
And he hits this one high in the air, deep right, T.J. Friedl, over top the bullpen, and he ties the game at 2.
Valley Sports on the call, T.J. Friedl, 3-for-4, and that home run, as you heard, as the Reds still clanking around in the National League wild card, they beat Toronto 6-3. The Red Sox, who were just a pain in the Orioles' ass for 4 days, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. They go to Houston taking on the Astros. And a guy who looked like he was going to be one of the GOATs turned out to be the hero when it was all said and done.
Yiner hits one high. Ball game over. Jordan said something to Yiner on his way back to the dugout. And Yiner crushed one for the winner.
AT&T on the call. 5-4 walk-off. Yiner, Jordan, whatever. Yiner Diaz, he was got called striking out on the clock violation earlier in the game, and then he hits a blast as the Astros stun the Red Sox 5-4. Yiner, by the way, was 2-for-5 on the night for Houston, on fire. And the Oakland A's, quite frankly, haven't really been that bad.
No.
Since the All-Star break. Well, they showed Tampa, hey, we're in it, at least to win what we can.
1-1 to deep right field. Lowe going back. He looks up, and Bleday barrels it out of the ballpark.
NBC Sports California on the call. J.J. Bleday, two-run homer as Oakland shuts out the Tampa Bay Rays. 3-0 out there as they're playing out the string. They get to play, what, Sacramento for 3 years?
Ugh.
And they hope they get funding for their new stadium.
On a turf field,
in
too.
Las Vegas? Come on, man. But the Oakland A's about to be no more, but they're going out fighting, as Tampa found out last night. In the American League East tonight, the Yankees are hosting the Cleveland Guardians, a battle of two of the best teams in Major League Baseball. The Yankees sending Luis Gil on the mound there, 12-6. Guardians first place in the division central. We'll get to that. That's coming up at 7:05. Reds at Toronto, that one 7:07. Boston's at Houston, 8:10. And then Tampa is at Oakland, that one coming up at 9:40 this evening. Standings in the American League Eastern Division and beyond. Yankees 73-52. They've lost two in a row. They're 5-5 in their last 10, but they're a half game ahead of the Orioles, who lose last night. They're also 5-5. According to ESPN's playoff possibility, the Yankees are 99.5% to get into the playoffs. Orioles 98.2. So needless to say, if the Orioles don't make the playoffs somehow, we'll be running hot in about 6 weeks.
Ooh.
You think? Boston 7.5 out, Tampa 10.5, Toronto, see you later. Cleveland 2.5 up on the Twinkies, and the Royals, who are tied identical 70-55 records. Kansas City has won 5 straight ballgames. Houston now 5 games up.
Wow.
On Seattle in the West. Remember how bad the Astros were for the first couple months? When the Orioles went in there, Houston was terrible.
Well, I thought, Bob, at that point, that if the Orioles could have sweep them, then they're probably selling. That's kind of what I thought at that point.
And they got swept. The Orioles, as Grayson blew that big lead, but that was 2 months ago. But the Astros, they're in a strong position for sure. Philly 7 games up on the Braves in the NL East. Brewers, what's up? They won 5 in a row. They're 11 games up.
And they in the NL Central is done for the year.
Yeah, he's getting back surgery, but they hope he'll be back for spring training. Dodgers starting to get it going a little bit. Winners of 2 in a row, 7-10. They're 3 up on the Padres, 4 up on the Diamondbacks. If the playoffs started today, which they don't, your wild card teams would be in the American League: the Orioles, Twins, and Royals. I guess Minnesota has right now the tiebreaker advantage over KC. So Kansas City would play Houston. The Orioles would play the Twins. Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Boston 4.5 out. And then that's kind of it. I mean, now things are separating just a little bit there. I mean, there's still 6 weeks left, and things could be made up. San Diego, Arizona, the Braves are the wild cards. The Mets are a game and a half behind Atlanta. And we just talked about the Braves, who have kind of played better baseball as of late. Losing Austin Riley, and we'll talk to Bob about this, is that going to be too much for them to overcome? They still have some talented pieces, but banged up nonetheless. Giants are 3.5 back, and then everybody else kind of fighting for positioning there. That's your standings update, Major League Baseball, on this Turn It Up Tuesday. As we said, a Hall of Famer to be, Bob Nightingale, USA Today. We'll talk about the final few weeks of the season. Stay tuned for that. Then a full-on funhouse Nolan McGraw before Inside Access takes over at 2, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, as Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, joins Tim Barbalace here on the Fan. Today, I'm sure that's not what they're shooting for. Other teams positioning themselves or trying to for the postseason of 2024. Here to talk about that and more from USA Today, future Hall of Fame baseball writer. Let's welcome back to the show Bob Nightingale. Bob, what's up?
Doing good. Help yourself, huh?
Can't complain, Bob. Appreciate your time, as always, with the Orioles, and we've been talking about it since they clobbered the Yankees on June 20th, 2 months ago today, 17-5. They're 24-28. When you look at them and their struggles, they've been less than mediocre the last 52 games. How much do we attribute this to injuries here? And at this late stage, with every team kind of banged up, is that a valid reason, excuse, et cetera, for them not being able to take command of the division?
Yeah, not really. I mean, like you said, Bob, I mean, every team's got injuries. You know, a lot of teams are more crushing injuries than the Orioles are. But, I think the bullpen's certainly been a factor. It just hasn't been, you know, the lights-out bullpen. The rotation's taking its hits. Obviously, Zach Eflin was a great pickup. But they're going to get that bullpen resolved.
Now, the Yankees, they could have taken control of the division themselves, and they've been just as mediocre as the Orioles. And, yeah, Cole was hurt, and they've had some injuries. Stanton's always on the shelf, it seems. The bullpen, Nick Holmes just blew his 10th save. So what's wrong with New York as we sit here and lament Baltimore's struggles? Why are the Yankees kind of treading water themselves right now?
Well, just the rotation. Ever since Gerrit Cole came back, it's like every let down or fatigue hit him. You get rotation as it being nearly the same as it was. They got bullpen problems too. So and outside of Judge and the Soto, nobody has really stepped up for him as well. So kind of a myriad of factors.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, talking some baseball with him on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Houston Astros are going to be here next week. They swept the Orioles in Houston right after that Yankee series, as a matter of fact. Is it fair to say, Bob, on August the 20th, record aside, that the Astros are the best team in the American League right now?
They could, the way they're playing. I mean, there's no clear-cut favorite in either league. I mean, you can, when they play off field is set, you can make a case for just about, every team. I'm not sure about, I think the Brewers would be a long shot, but everybody else, I think, would have a fair shot. But you may be right. I mean, this is a team where people are giving up on them and saying, okay, they should start selling off and who's going to be available. Talking about, let's have a fire sale here. And don't the owner's credit, Jim Crane, stuck to his guns, and here they are. I mean, you're right. I mean, they're playing better than anybody in the American League.
Hey, Bob, what about the Brewers? I mean, Yelich is gone. They won 5 in a row. All they do is they just keep winning and extending their lead.
Yeah, with a small payroll and everything else, 11-game lead. Pat Murphy, was a bench coach those years. Now he's a manager. Yeah, he's probably going to win Manager of the Year, in unanimous vote. It's unbelievable what they've done. And no one's got hit more with injuries than those guys. I mean, particularly when you're talking about trading away Corbin Burns, not having an all-star closer for the first half, Wade Miley, no Brandon Woodruff, on and on. It's stunning what they've done.
Hey, Bob, I mean, as inconsistent as Major League Baseball has been this year, the umpiring has been, I don't know if you saw the Orioles-Mets game last night, but that was horrendous. But, I mean, the umpiring has been so inconsistent.
Yeah, it's time. Those squares on TV are off, and I think people get too excited over that stuff. Oh, you miss it by a quarter of an inch when those squares aren't right, and when they do the umpire evaluations, it shows that they're a whole lot better than people thought originally. So it's tough to tell. I mean, like I said, I mean, those squares, they don't change whether the guy's 6'7" or 5'8". So, I know their records, everything else through the analytics will show the umpiring's never been better. So it's really tough to tell off those screens.
Man, my eyes say that they're not, Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Now, the Oakland A's, we were just talking about them, and no, they're not doing anything in regards to the postseason, but they're playing better baseball. Does Mark Kotze get to ride this out a little bit, the nomadic journey that they're about to be on through, what, at Sacramento, eventually Vegas, we guess? Where does Kotze fit into all of this?
He's done a marvelous job, really has. You know, if he wanted out, I'm sure, you know, whatever openings come up this winter, you know, he'd be a top candidate. But he's got those guys playing hard, and, you know, they're on their way. You know, I think they hope to be, you know, a World Series contender by 2029 or 2028, you know, whenever they move to Vegas, I guess it's 2028. And, but yeah, it's a, they're playing good baseball right now. You know, they're, you know, with the talent they've had, and they should get better. And this is after making some god-awful trades. I mean, you look back, they didn't get anything for those guys, you know, whether it was a Matt Olson or Sean Murphy and those guys, and still they're hanging tough.
Hey, Bob, with the Royals, I mean, how good has Witt been since the All-Star break?
Yeah, I mean, he's a valid, you know, contender for MVP. I think for him to win it, the Royals have to make the playoffs for him to win it. And I think Judge has got to slip some. But, yeah, he's been marvelous. And, you know, their manager, you know, Matt Quatro, I mean, he should win Manager of the Year very easily. He may be unanimous winner, you know, to go from a 106-loss team to a team that could still win the AL Central.
Where does Stephen Vogt fit into that, though, with Cleveland?
I would still give it to Quatro in the sense that, you know, Cleveland kind of underachieved last year, but they were, you know, won the division 2 years ago, and, you know, it's still a good team. But, I think if you said before the season, can Cleveland win the AL Central? Sure. Can KC win it? You know, absolutely not. I don't think there's anybody in the world that even thought they would be a 500 team, let alone be knocking on the door of the playoffs.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Bob, last thing for you. National League MVP, Marcell Ozuna is, what, two of the three Triple Crown categories he leads. Chris Sale is maybe the Cy Young candidate favorite in the NL as well. Is there a possibility the Braves could have the MVP and the Cy Young Award winner and not make the playoffs?
It's possible for sure. I mean, Sale's right now the clear-cut front runner for Cy Young. I mean, he may win the pitching version, the Triple Crown, you know, with ERA and wins and strikeouts. For Ozuna, he's not getting the love he should. I think he almost has to win the Triple Crown for people to take notice of what he's doing. You know, everybody's kind of caught up in the Shohei Ohtani. You know, Ohtani struggled pretty much in August. He's still hitting his home runs. Of course, he's got the 37 stolen bases. Should be a 40-40 guy. You got the second baseman in Arizona, Ketel Marte, but, you know, he's on the injury list now. But, yeah, I think if he wins a Triple Crown, all of a sudden I think Ozuna's got a real chance because that team has been so beat up, and he's carried that offense where, hey, Ohtani's been great for L.A., but they've got a lot, you know, better players in that lineup than Atlanta has, particularly with Atlanta's injuries.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Bob, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks here.
All right, sounds great.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, Bob Nightingale, everybody. It's 410-583-1057. Send your text to the Plot Support text line, because next, it's a fun house trip with Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. And then we got Baltimore baseball tonight. Tim Barbalace, Mike Bordick, 6 o'clock. Brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Orioles' frustrating loss last night, trying to take out the frustrations on Jose Quintana and the Mets.
Quick draws, fun house. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This first texter here says, am I missing something with Couser in the leadoff spot? Just last week, he was seemingly a perfect fit for the role, delivering quality at-bats every night. Now people are suggesting he's not the best fit. Unless there's a lefty on the mound, Couser should bat leadoff.
Well, his on-base percentage in July was like 390. Mm. In August, it's below 3. So he's getting a little swing happy at the plate. And with all due respect to Bob Nightingale, who I love, been talking to him for over 20 years, the plate umpires suck. Yeah. You don't need that little box there to see the ball
has missed its target. And then it makes the hitter change his approach to the plate. I think the leadoff hitter is a fluid situation. A year ago at this time, Adley had settled in. Gunnar was the guy earlier this year. Then you wanted him in a more of a run production situation, mm-hmm. which I get. I don't think Moonman's leading off tonight because the lefty's on the hill. Maybe it'll be Slater. Who knows? But again, goes back to the fact that the Orioles are inconsistent, even with the lineup.
Another texter here says, I would replace Trevor Rogers with Cade Povich for the next turn through the order. But who's to say, based on what they did last weekend, they aren't trying to work a six-man rotation here down the stretch. Hyde seems to always be talking about how they want to give starters as much extra rest as possible.
I think that just happened over the weekend.
That's
right?
What he says as that was part of the text.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. Sorry about that. But their next scheduled day off, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. So they're straight at it with the rotation. But Cade Povich, we talked about it earlier. Has he earned another opportunity? I would think so. Why discourage the why go Brian Flores on Cade Povich? Why break him down? Build him up. Hey, man, that was a great start. You've earned another one.
No doubt.
Now, Rogers, you, on the other hand, get your bleep together.
Speaking of the Rogers move, this texter says, I give Elias credit for taking multiple swings at the deadline, not banking entirely on Dominguez and Eflin, which were done a few days in advance. The Rogers and Soto moves have obviously fallen flat. Neither is going to help you win this year. Send them down. Try a different combination of reliever starter. Can't be any worse.
I think Soto's going to be an asset when
not
it's all said and done. No, this year.
Oh, you think?
Because he's been tightening it up just a little bit. And he's signed through next year, too. So get to know him. Get to love him. Same with Trevor Rogers. Rogers is the one that's more concerning because what's he done to encourage you to make you think that he's going to help you every fifth day?
Right, if we have to view last night as one of his better outings,
right,
where he doesn't even get through five.
Hey, the biggest compliment you've gotten from your manager so far is you were okay.
I'm in a leverage situation, Bob. I can't put Soto in.
Yeah, I'm still slow playing him.
Right.
I bet he's Sparky Lyle compared to Craig Kimbrel right now.
Well, for both of us, the Orioles just don't find themselves in many low leverage situations these days. It seems like every relief appearance is a high leverage one.
Yeah, they're due for a little puffy pants action.
Hammer time. Solve a lot of issues. Last text here on the Ravens. Texter says, I don't understand the Deonte Hardy fascination the Ravens have. He's a return specialist. I get it. That's fine. But if you get nothing offensively, is it worth the dedicated roster spot? Also, the guy's been missing in action for 90% of the summer. Yet Harbaugh and the coaches talk about him like he can just step right in and be effective.
I don't disagree with the texter. Because if that's all he's doing for you, I need more. I need more versatility than just my return guy. You better be my punt returner and kick returner, which he's not. But maybe they're going to use him for that. I don't know. He can't cover anything. And can I use him as a receiver also? Can he be productive for me as a receiver? Because if he's dressing, somebody else is not.
Well, and if Wallace is your punt returner, then you have two guys who aren't helping you in the passing game.
Right, so you're down to four receivers that are receivers.
A quandary, for sure. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. We're back tomorrow. We're live from Jones Junction, Toyota. 10 o'clock tomorrow for Woman Crush Wednesday. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you tomorrow. For now, class dismissed.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.